Welcome to part two of our conversation with Ashley Marino about feeling the other side. Let me ask you this. After being in a situation there where, you know, it was, you know, a borderline possession, you know, basically, how would you, looking back and being more seasoned, how would you handle it differently?
I think I would be a little more cautious. When we went in, like I said, it was the first time we were ever really investigating together. So we were just so excited. And we didn't really go in expecting anything. So it was just kind of any type of noise or any equipment that went off. We were just excited that something had happened. I think going back, I would definitely say my prayers before walking into the house, but I would also go in and kind of announce myself and tell the spirits there what I'm there for and what I'm expecting, but also what they can expect out of me. I wouldn't go in and antagonize or anything like that. So I think I would just try to prepare myself mentally and spiritually instead of just going in as a newbie and just excited to experience the situation.
Sure. Is there, let me ask you this, the story of the Hinsdale House prior to it being now a place where people go and investigate, what is the story? I mean, of what took place there in detail, or what you know of the details, who lived there? I mean, why this place, and what was the activity there, if any, prior to people going, this is a great haunted house and we investigate it now?
So the story that I know is that it is Native American land. Mm-hmm. And I know that there had been battles between Native American and the white man. I don't know if it happened on that physical location or just in the area. But there, the farmhouse was built and there was a family who lived there. And I believe that they had dug the lake for their kids to play in during the summers. And I've heard that when they dug the lake up, that they found some headstones or unmarked graves of some sort. And that is kind of when the activity started picking up. And I know that the family was there for a little bit before they decided to move out. And I believe they had two girls and two boys, but don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure. But I do know that the kids were affected a lot. And I know that they mentioned that the kids had scratches and bruises and the kids were experiencing things moving and seeing shadows, and they would see figures outside and then they would run outside and there'd be figures inside. There's also a story before the family had moved in that there was a little boy on an adjoining property that had been messing with some kind of equipment and ended up getting hit in the head and passed away. There have been rumors that there were two brothers who owned kind of like a, not a bed and breakfast, but kind of like a little hotel or something. And they would invite people over and then they would either drug them or kill them. I don't know how true that is. That's rumors that we've heard. We've also heard that brothers got into a fight in the woods behind the house and one of them ended up shot. There was rumor that there was a woman who was married and her husband was in the military and he had got sent off to war and she was pregnant. However, they were very poor, so they didn't have the ability to have rings. So they were married. They didn't have the jewelry, as people like to say it. And as he was away at war, they thought that she had an illegitimate baby and they hung her in a tree on the property. And the tree is still there. It's actually, I believe it was cut down, but there's still pieces of the tree that you can go to and kind of investigate. So that's another story that we've heard about the location. There's just so much tragedy that is tied to that land that I think is just a pit of emotion and energy that has been left throughout the years.
How many of those stories have been able to be verified?
Well, I do know that the owner of the house, he does do his research. I believe he has a few books on the house, and I know that he has talked to historians. He's done his research. So if you talk to him, he is able to verify some of them.
It's been a while.
He'll tell you the room.
I've had him on the show before. It's been a while. I'm just trying to I'm just curious as to, you know, because I don't remember all the stories that he told. Like I said, it's been a long time, but yes. But yeah, I mean, I'm just curious as to how much, you know, is the lore and the rumors, and how much is you know, there. Obviously, stuff happened there without a doubt. Amount of activity that's there. When you have places like this, and I'm just taking the Hinsdale House for example, but I'm really using it just kind of as a general term, places like this that already seem to be very infested with energy, you know, fairly dark. Yes. And then you have the volume of investigations that take place in places like this. Are we simply stirring up and making these places even more infested with dark energy, or energy in general that, you know, could be changed to very dark? And is there any danger in doing this, essentially kind of creating these, you know, hot boxes of things that are already not great, but just we're adding this, and we're just going to keep stirring the pot. At some point, you know, does it just get too dangerous?
I think so. I do think that there are some people who are more out for a thrill. And I know a lot of the locations, they don't let you bring in Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. They don't want you opening any portals or anything of that nature that could bring in negative energy. But you know that you always have those few people that will try to sneak in different things, especially Ouija boards. But I do think that when you investigate a place, if you have a tremendous experience, I think it does leave a little bit of your energy at that location. Mm-hmm. And depending on what your purpose is and what their purpose is, I absolutely think that we could be opening things that we are not 100% sure how to handle or to close.
Yeah, I mean,
that is for sure.
That's what I wonder about with some of these locations like this. And I think it's really neat that so many of these places are being preserved, and what's keeping them going is the investigation. So I'm not saying I'm anti this by any means. I'm just wondering about the long-term effects, where it's like, you know, what is this going to, you know, are we going to run into places at some point, or are you already running into places where it's like, well, there's a lot that's been going on in this house. I went in here 10 years ago, and now, you know, go into it now, and it's like, what the hell? Like almost literally. Because things have gotten so much more stirred up in that time of being an open investigation property.
Yes. And I do think too, when you go into a place, if your intentions are not pure, I think they know, the entities are extremely smart. And well, Mansfield, to go back to that, you know, there were entities of prisoners there, mm-hmm. That we actually had, you could call them out, or you could call them by name and you would get reactions. So I do think that if you go in and your intentions are pure and you go in respectfully, I think most of the time they will hopefully give that same respect back to you. But you know, there are some investigators, I won't drop names, that do go in and they just antagonize and they scream and they yell and they cuss. And I think that brings out the worst in the locations.
Sure.
You know, and I think also, I would hate if there were people in my house all day, every day, asking me to do things. I'd be like, get the hell out of here and leave me alone. So I'm sure at some point that these entities feel the same way. And they're like, God, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, we're putting them on display. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely think that eventually some of these locations could turn darker if they haven't already. Mm-hmm. But you just have to go and protect it and hope for the best.
Yeah. What has the closest you've ever been to something, you know, dark on the other side that made you say, I gotta get out of this? I know we just talked about Hinsdale and one of your other investigators almost borderline coming under some sort of possession. Has that ever happened to you, where you had felt like something was kind of coming onto you, or any other experiences that felt like this is a lot?
Yes. We were doing a sensory deprivation experiment where my teammate and I were in a room. We were both blindfolded and we both had on headphones that were playing white noise as loud as we could get the speakers to go. And we sat on opposite sides of the room And we just sat there and kind of would say out loud what we would see or what we would think we would hear. And we would try to see how close we were, or if we were picking up on the same things, or if we were completely off. And during this experiment, we did it for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. We were picking up on the same things, but at one point, I remember sitting on the floor, and all of a sudden there was a man, and he was crawling up to my left side, and he had on a white, kind of dressy button-up shirt, white hair that was very disheveled, and he had this god-awful angry look on his face. And I could physically see him with the blindfold and the headphones on, and he was crawling up to my side, and he was whispering. And I will try to make it PG, but he was whispering, "You dumb bitch, you're
swear,
effing yeah. mine." Yeah. He's like, "You're fucking mine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you. They can't help you now." And then I would see visions of two of my friends who were in the same location, but in a different part of the building. Mm-hmm. And I remember I started saying their name out loud, like, "Katie Robin, Katie Robin, Katie Robin, somebody needs to check on Katie and Robin." Mm-hmm. And at that point, the person filming checked on them and found that they had seen the same exact entity where they were at, and it was chasing them. And as I'm saying this, he's still crawling, he's still cussing and threatening me and saying that I'm his and he's taking me. And at that moment, he lunged. And this is all on film. Mm-hmm. And what I don't remember at that point is I ripped off my headphones and I ripped off the blindfold, and our cameraman zoomed into my face, and I was bawling my eyes out. And I'm not a crier. Yeah. And I'm not really one that gets scared, but I was bawling. Mm-hmm. And I took a few deep breaths and I put it back on, and I did not remember until I watched the film. And after I watched it, I'm like, "Oh my God, I remember that man. I remember that guy." Mm-hmm. And at that point, I felt threatened. I've never had something lunge at me like that. I've never had something threaten me or threaten my life. And that was definitely, that was probably one of the most intimidating entities that I've ever come across, and probably one of the scariest.
That would be absolutely terrifying. I mean, what sort of pause does that give you then, you know, or bumper does it put up when you are investigating and other things, where it's like, okay, been down this road. Does that affect anything going forward?
It does. I try to go into a location open so that I can experience the things going on. But when that happened, I instantly shut down. I do remember afterward, I still wanted to investigate, but I wasn't as open as I had been previously in that location. And I remember shutting down, and then I was nervous. So I'm like, okay, is this entity going to follow me home? Is that the last time I'm going to have to deal with them? So my nerves were kind of shot, and then my guard was up. And I think when you put your guard up, you don't get to fully experience the location that you're at. Mm-hmm. So it definitely changed the way that I felt the rest of the night.
If you could look back, you know, when you were beginning doing this to where you're at today, what would be something you would tell? What's like the main message you would tell the Ashley that's beginning this from the Ashley today with more experience?
I would tell myself that it is not what you think it is. The shows that you see on TV and, you know, make a knock, do this. It is not like you see on TV. You get to see the exciting parts and the boring or the exciting parts, and then like the fun parts. But at the same time, what you don't see is that it is very spiritually draining. Mm-hmm. There's a thing that it's like a paranormal hangover. You come home and you're just exhausted. Sure. And you don't realize the effect that it has on you or your energy levels. And then we have had different experiences where, you know, when we left the location, that wasn't the last time that we experienced those entities. We have, you know, we've had dreams. We've had people go home and then end up with scratches. We've had people driving and seeing things in their cars. So I think people love the thrill of it, but they don't realize that when you walk out that door, it may not be the last time you're experiencing whatever's in that place. And you have to be physically and emotionally ready for that.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Ashley. A big thank you to her for joining us. And thank you to you for supporting our program and keeping us on the air. We would not be here without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.